Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. We're still studying the idea of what it means to have something revealed. So 1 Thessalonians. I'll tell you what, let's do. That one's repeated. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'll just start in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. So he's got a whole bunch. This was written about 54 or 55 AD. And so it's one of Paul's earlier letters, both 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So Paul and Silvanus and Timothy. So all three were traveling. Probably Luke also, but he's not mentioned all the time. Unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you know, I spent time in 93 it's now called Thessaloniki, but it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. It's a huge lake, and it's a big trading center, and always has been. And it has this, it's sort of like a place in Lake Lugano in Switzerland. It's not a huge lake in Lugano, but the one in Thessaloniki is, and it has for about the part of the lake that's inhabited on the shore. It has these stones that were laid back at this time. That go all around the this about one half to three quarters of the lake, and then there's resting places and lights, but the stones were laid back at right at this time, most of them, and it's like the most peaceful place that we're on the lake. When you go into Thessalonica, it's a disaster. It's so crowded, but it only has one road, and it's a two-lane road, and yet it's this huge trading area. And so this road to get in and out of Thessalonica, it's like the worst nightmare in the world now, because so much, it's a big trading center. And so there's some that come by river and into this lake, but I don't know I don't remember all of it. But I had. It's when like when I was at the Mars Hill in Athens. I mean, it's like there were three or four times at Thessalonica that I felt I was there at this time, and sort of understood some of these issues that they were writing about. But anyway, that's just preliminary. we are bound. There were more than one church in Thessalonica, but they only called it the church as a whole because each one was considered to be part of the church. Anyway. So it's grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to give to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or necessary, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and they that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, obviously the word we're studying there is revealed. I've been considering a lot in the last week or so this issue that, you know, we've talked about, that I can only preach what I see, and I don't. It's something in me just hates to talk about it as a process. And I think I have erred in not recognizing the process. And I think, and I don't, I'm not, I'm, I've asked God to forgive me, but I ask you now. And the reason is, I can only tell you why it happened to me. My life before the conversion, January 17th, 1972, was one that one normally could only dream about in terms of activity. I was in countries all over the world, most of them with embassy privileges, where I met the kings and princes and all of the people of power. I had an unlimited expense account for just about 12 years, and I made use of it. And so that, plus then when I was the Air Force, then when I did the same thing for 8 more years with working for the government, it just amplified it. And I, at the moment of my conversion, I knew that everything in the world was empty and futile and meaningless to me. And that's what led to my conversion. But I didn't recognize that, and that's why. That's poverty, because I no longer got sustenance and satisfaction from anything that I did or had done or could conceive of myself doing. And that's poverty. But it's also poverty when you haven't done all that stuff and what you're doing doesn't give you sustenance and satisfaction. And I ignored that in the preaching. That some, maybe most, it takes a long time to come to the place where you know that everything in the world is empty and fruitless and meaningless, puff of smoke. And so, in order to know that everything in the universe, everything in the world is that, there you have to use your mind. Because you have to consider to see whether they meet the standards of bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
And seeing if there's anything in those things and that you your mind is conceiving of, that you still think you need to do. It's something that you think you could get sustenance and satisfaction from, and you need to do it. Now that's why the body exists, because we, that's why, you know, in the first man, it took 800 or 900 years for them to come to the end of themselves, because that's how long they lived. Now, we if we were doing church, as I believe the scriptures say, each one of us would be, we'd bring our own experience and our own recognition of poverty or emptiness of what we're doing, and then that can be shared by empathy with the other members, so that they don't have to go through the same things you did to see what brought you to poverty. You understand what I'm saying? And so I am going to give more credence to process. And I ask you to forgive me, because I've been a hard ass about this issue, that I didn't want to even talk about process. And so the Lord kind of severely beat me up the last couple days. And this is the thing that was kept coming back to me, that I have to recognize there is a process where the mind is used in order to end up with that which is seen as vanity. Everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. That was revealed to you.
It was revealed very strongly.
Yeah.
That was revealed most strongly when I had a day, when was it? I don't even remember, when I was so out of it I couldn't hardly talk. Or,
well, yesterday was pretty bad.
Well, was it before? There was another one before that. Yesterday almost yesterday pushed me over the edge on it. So anyway, I'm probably not asking for forgiveness on my knees, but I'm asking you to forgive me for pushing this final place with where mind is no longer in the picture, to seeing that you have to use your mind. If you hadn't had all of the experiences, you have to use your mind to bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ, every thought. And that's a process. All right? Now, I'm not apologizing for preaching the end or what I see as the purpose of sanctification and all this, but I am apologizing for not giving any credence to the process. So, John, any response?
I'm anxious to see where this goes.
I began the study of the process in the last few days, and hopefully I'll have a recognition of that I can share with you of what I believe that process entails and what the steps are and why the process sometimes is necessary, and most of the time probably. Alright?
So you will tell us what you see?
And what I've seen. I've been telling you what I've seen. Now I'll tell you what I saw in the last couple days, okay?
However you want to say it.
All right. So, anyway, let's go down to, still in 2 Thessalonians.
What is a, does that mean, a babbling? So I'll just say it, if it's wrong, it's wrong, it's right, it's right. So is rebellion, examine these things, I'm tired of looking
for it. All right, I'm sure we'll come back.
I guess my question is that a faith?
Well, it's
in the
process, slowly seeing faith.
It's like whatever is not of faith is sin.
It's sin. And so that is revealed, and that's why I've been so strong about repentance, because
the other word came to mind. Is there an element in this process of self-awareness?
Yeah.
Rebellion,
Now, God sees it as rebellion, but in his mercy, he sees it as a process.
I'm sorry, I slept very bad last night.
All right, that's right.
One thing he said that I thought was interesting was the idea of satisfaction and poverty. I like that.
Well, that's what...
All men can feel unsatisfied having gained everything they've spent their life trying to achieve. They get there and they go, that's it. The satisfaction came in seeking.
It's satisfaction and sustenance. And what the word poptos or poverty means. It's that you no longer get satisfaction and or sustenance from the things that you are doing and the things possibly that you even can conceive of doing. So that's because you no longer get sustenance and satisfaction from those things, and again, because all those things are dust. Remember the serpent in the Garden of Eden that tricked Eve. Wasn't a snake that can talk, it was her mind. And then she seduced or enticed Adam to do the same thing. And then the first thing that they said after they were discovered, or that God said, it says, we were naked and we hid ourselves. And the word that should ring forever, as God said, who told you you were naked? You have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because by knowing they were naked, that for the first time there was an awareness of self. Now that's why, except you become as a little child, a darling infant, be converted and become as a little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. Because somehow in the mystery of God, by repentance, we have to return to the initial state of innocency, where we spew out all judgments of good and evil. We live by faith alone. It's not our business. Amen. We're going back to 1 Thessalonians. I came out of there too early. Chapter 4. Start in verse 11. Wait a minute. Well, let's start chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. The will of God is your sanctification. The sanctification is becoming as that little child and spewing out all ideas of good and evil and returning to that state of innocency. And fornication, from God's view, is going anywhere other than the Father for anything. For your meals, for your food, for whatever, everything, anything. That's fornication. So abstaining from fornication is the fruit, or is let me say it okay, in this new way. Is when that's recognized, you repent from the fornication. Or you do what we've talked about so often. You say, Father, I don't know what else to do. If there's something else, I need to be shown. In other words, you never justify fornication. You never justify yourself. All right? Amen.
So sanctification is a, may include what we're talking about, is this process of seeing vanity.
Right. That's what everything is about, is this. Now, fornication also means what the word means in English. You don't go running around, which I was guilty of. I mean, that's that. Yeah, well, I'm gonna go there. All right. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now you possess the vessel when you know that that's all you are, is a vessel of him. That's when you possess the vessel. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, and as we also love, have forewarned you and testified. Now, each of these things are written to believers. They're not written to the Gentiles. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or dead, is what it means, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, that seeing of him at the end here is the final. I mean, if there's anything in the universe that you retain that isn't of the bright, I mean, that can withstand the brightness of his presence, then your garment is spotted. Understand?
Looking at one verse where it says, it's study to be quiet and to do your own business, and that on the surface may seem to be opposed to the idea of prophesying, bubbling forth, saying what's there. But what I see it saying is that we, you know, that the vain jangling that we always, prone to do, you know, talk about, you know, giving importance to vanity or whatever.
Amen. No, it's this idea that say this. It's a quote from something, but I don't remember who. But it's the idea that children talk about children. Talk about people. Young adults talk about ideas. Fathers talk about God. So, and again, it's not. There's nothing wrong with being a child, except if that child position gives you sustenance and satisfaction, even by the preaching of the cross, then there's a problem. Because God wants us on the mercy seat. Well, the other way of saying it, little people talk about people, middle people talk about ideas, talk about stuff, and the fathers talk about ideas. It's a quote that I read somewhere many years ago that I've tried to incorporate into here, and it's not working. So ignore it.
Okay. I think along with this process idea, God wants you on the mercy seat, but if you're not fully tested, He doesn't want you on the mercy seat. That's just a
If Christ
tested place you can in heaven.
Right. All right. Let's go. Let's finish a few verses here. In chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that are asleep sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient unto all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any more. Any man, but even follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, his soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren of the holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. It was interesting being in Thessalonica. Oh, that's Saloniki to read these. And they have a place there where...
Is that in Greece?
Yeah. Well, it's a place that's part Greece, part the Macedonia that they're troubling with. But it was the same thing when I was in Athens. I read the scriptures about Athens. When I was in Mars Hill, I read the scriptures on Mars Hill when I was, you know. So it was really kind of neat to go through all that. Anyhow, but you know, that's not neat for me. It was neat, but not needed. Because they make those places holy. Do you understand that Christianity is the only religion that has no holy places, no holy relics, no holy buildings? The way Christianity should, but it was in the first century. That's what blew them away. Because every other religion had statues. And, well, not so did Christianity. But it's a religion. There's no holy land. The land is holy because you're standing on it, wherever it is, because he is you, or you are him in your form. All right. Any response? You're chewing. I miss my meaning. You're musing.
I'm musing. The grand muse.
All right. Take it with you, God. Take it big guy. I mean, excuse me. Take it big guy.